Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deeper Truth. I am Donald Hartley, known as the Catholic Defender. And today is November 29th, 2022. And still in December. Or not December, but still in November. Heading towards December. But still in November, we're still dedicating prayer for the poor souls in purgatory. And going to 1 Corinthians Chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. According to the commission of God given to me. Now, this is St. Paul speaking here. Like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. Let each man take care how he builds upon it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, each man's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, well, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, only as through fire. And this is something that St. Paul is referring to, the poor souls in purgatory who built upon the foundation, which, of course, the foundation, Christ is the foundation. He is the foundation stone. And the church, his apostles, and their successors built upon this foundation. So bishop or priest in the history of the church, popes. Well, we pray for those, we pray for all the poor souls in purgatory, which St. Paul himself did. Himself. You go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. St. Paul says, "May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. He was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me and eagerly found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day." And you know well all the services he rendered at Ephesus. And so the idea of purgatory demonstrated by St. Paul is something that the Catholic Church in the month of November dedicates. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home, and within my family.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And so let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail and blessed be the hour and moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem, in the piercing cold, in that hour vouchsafe, I beseech you, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires for my healing and for my wife's healing and for America, all our family members who have become prodigals. Bring them back, O Lord. We pray for America, for those who are suffering addictions, whether it be drugs or whatever addiction is, alcohol, whatever. We pray and intercede for them. And for those who are contemplating having abortions, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much. I beg of you to spare the life of the unborn child whom I have spiritually adopted, whose life is in danger of abortion. Through the merits of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and of his Blessed Mother, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And today is the feast of St. Andrew the Apostle, the first apostle. And yesterday was St. Clement. We mentioned something about once a forest a while ago, who was a co-worker with St. Paul. Well, St. Clement was also a co-worker with St. Paul, who would eventually become the third successor of St. Peter, the third pope. So we're going to be looking at his story here also. The apostle, and then St. Clement. Oh, and how wonderful that is. Heavenly Father, in union with the merits of Jesus and Mary, I offer you, for the sake of the poor souls, all the satisfactory value of my works during life, as well as all that will be done for me after death. I give you my all through the hands of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, that she may set free whatever soul she pleases, according to her heavenly wisdom and mother's love for them. Receive this offering, O God, and grant me in return an increase of your grace. Amen. And so, St. Andrew. St. Andrew was the younger brother of Simon Peter, who was born in Bethsaida of Galilee, John chapter 1:44, and raised in the fishing community. His father, Bar-Jonah, spent his life on the sea as a fisherman. This was the foundation St. Andrew was raised. His Jewish faith was extremely important to him, as evident that he first became a follower of St. John the Baptist. Jesus was baptized by St. John the Baptist, ushering in Jesus' public ministry. St. Andrew was present, hearing St. John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, for he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend as a dove from heaven, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." St. John the Baptist would state, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John chapter 3, verse 30. As Jesus was walking ahead, he noticed St. Andrew and Philip following behind. He asked them. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. John chapter 1, verses 38 to 43. St. Andrew is always listed in the top four of the apostles. Matthew chapter 10, verse 2 and 4. Mark chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. Luke chapter 6, 14 through 16. And Acts chapter 1, verse 13. And he is always close to the events of Jesus. Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew, healing their mother, who was sick with fever. Jesus healed many in Capernaum and the surrounding areas. The apostles witnessed Jesus cleanse lepers, heal paralytics, change the water into wine at Cana, and they began to believe in Jesus. John chapter 2, 11, verse 11. Andrew was one of the apostles who told Jesus there was a boy that had five barley fish, loaves of bread, and a couple of fish. Jesus used this opportunity to feed 5,000 men, not counting women or children. This led to Jesus giving the very important bread of life discourse, John chapter 6, verses 35 to 71. That would be the foundation for a new covenant. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. Andrew and the apostles would witness Jesus walking on the water, the teaching of Jesus in parables, many cures, and the casting out of demons. These signs, these were great signs of Jesus' public ministry, but it was to prepare the apostles for their missionary work that they would embark. Everything points to Jerusalem. Jesus' whole mission was to go to Jerusalem and as high priest become the living sacrifice that saves all who follow him from sin and death. All roads lead to Jesus through the Catholic faith. Mark chapter 13, 1 through 8 states, and as he came of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. And Jesus said to him, excuse me, do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another. That will not be torn down. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will this be? And what sign will be the sign when these things are to be accomplished? And Jesus began to say to them, take heed that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines, the beginning of the sufferings. This prophecy of Jesus was fulfilled in 70 AD with the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the animal sacrifice. Jesus is truly the Lamb of God, as St. John the Baptist had said. Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection changed human history for all time. Jesus established the Catholic faith, and St. Andrew played an important role getting the infant church off the ground. Jesus ascended into heaven. The Great Commission of Jesus, the election of Matthias, Pentecost, and the Council of Jerusalem prepared the church to go out into the world with all that Jesus instructed them and empowered them. According to St. Eusebius, St. Andrew traveled to Cynthia, establishing churches there. He traveled to the Black Sea and the Dnieper River, reportedly went to Novgorod, which is up in modern-day Ukraine. So St. Andrew made it his way to the Ukraine, Romania, and Russia. In 38 AD, St. Andrew founded the See of Constantinople, placing the first bishop. St. Andrew traveled to Cynthia and Archaea, setting up more churches. Maximilla was the wife of the governor. Agiores converted to the Catholic faith through the teaching of St. Andrew. The governor was not happy with St. Andrew. Actually, he wanted to kill him. When being threatened with crucifixion, St. Andrew responded, "Had I feared the death of the cross, I should not have preached the majesty and gloriousness of the cross of Christ." Finally, after staying there in Archaea, converting many people, working wondrous signs, when St. Andrew was arrested, said, "O beloved cross, I have greatly longed for you. I rejoice to see you erected here. I come to you with a peaceful conscience and with cheerfulness, desiring that I, who am a disciple of him who hung on the cross, may also be crucified. The nearer I come to the cross, the nearer I come to God. And the farther I am from the cross, the farther I remain from God." And on 30 November 60 AD, he was tied to an X-shaped cross, now known as the St. Andrew's Cross. Not being nailed to the cross, the executioners wanted to prolong St. Andrew's suffering. He lived 3 days, yet, despite his suffering, was able to preach from the cross. St. Andrew from the cross said, "I thank my Lord Jesus Christ that he, having used me for a time as an ambassador, now permits me to have this body, that I, through a good confession, may obtain everlasting grace and mercy. Remain steadfast in the word and doctrine which you have received, instructing one another, that you may dwell with God in eternity and receive the fruits of his promise." The people pleaded to the governor to save St. Andrew and take him down from the cross, but St. Andrew responded, "O Lord Jesus Christ, suffer not that your servant, who hangs here on the tree for your name's sake, be released to dwell again among, but receive me, O my Lord, my God, whom I have known, whom I have loved, to whom I cling, whom I desire to see, and in whom I am about, and whom I am what I am." Just as Jesus had done giving up his spirit on the cross, St. Andrew also committed his spirit into the hands of God. That's the story of St. Andrew. Powerful. Thank you, St. Andrew. And St. Andrew, pray for us. Clement, the third successor of St. Peter. With the death of St. Cleitus, 88 AD, St. Clement would be selected to be the third successor of St. Peter, beginning with the 12 apostles, who to include St. Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot, Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 26. The first three successors of St. Peter were each anointed as bishop by Peter. St. Clement would be the last major leader, who would have actually been personally inspired by the apostolic age. We know that both St. Peter and Paul were in Rome, and that many baptisms occurred at the Tiber River that surrounds Vatican City today. This would be where St. Peter would eventually be crucified. St. Clement was a Roman by birth, raised in the influence of pagan Rome. At some point, St. Clement heard the apostles preaching and became a believer. St. Paul speaks of St. Clement as a co-worker who labored with St. Paul. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3 states, "And I ask you also, true yoke fellow, help these women, for they have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." St. Clement became a traveler with St. Paul, working for the salvation of souls. St. Irenaeus of Lyons writes that St. Clement saw the blessed apostles and conversed with them, and had yet ringing in his ears the preaching of the apostles, and had their tradition before his eyes. And not he only, for many were then surviving who had been taught by the apostles. After the deaths of Peter and Paul, St. Clement served as an auxiliary bishop to Linus and Cleitus. But with their martyrdoms, St. Clement would serve the chair of Peter. St. Clement intervenes with a problem that had developed in the Corinthian church, writing a couple of letters to them, responding to their issues. Part of the problem dealt with the immoral practices concerning prostitution, a continuing problem since the time of St. Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 through 12 states, "I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with immoral men, not at all, meaning the immoral of this world, or the greedy and robbers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out into the world. But rather I wrote to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother. If he is guilty of immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or robber, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Drive out the wicked person from among you." This was a pagan, terrible dedicated. There was a pagan temple dedicated to Aphrodite, prostitution as a means to draw followers that confronted the infant Catholic Church. That was a problem, but within the church, St. Clement intervenes on behalf of the bishops and priests who the people were either deposing or challenging. St. Paul wrote the Corinthians, "I do not write this to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For through you have countless guides in Christ. You do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you, then, be imitators of me." St. Clement appealed to the Corinthians to remember the words of St. Paul and following Jesus. An apocryphal work, The Shepherd of Hermas, refers to St. Clement using his office to communicate representing the whole church. St. Clement had a special gift in reaching out to the pagans for Christ, bringing light into a world of darkness. With the conversion of a highly ranked Roman courtier and his wife Theodora, by miraculous means, these signs and wonders God used to convert many people. St. Clement, despite serious warnings, continued working among the people. As a result, more than 400 persons of Roman rank soon followed. Again, Rome launched a massive persecution of the Christians under the Emperor Trajan, who succeeded the monster Domitian. The prefect of Rome, Titus, inspired to go after the Christians, especially St. Clement, arrested Clement, found in the catacombs of Rome, serving his people, offering mass. Mamertinus sent St. Clement to Trajan with the purpose of crucifixion, but that is not what the emperor called for. After refusing to sacrifice to the false pagan gods of Rome, Trajan wanted to make particular example of St. Clement, banishing him to Crimea in the southern Ukraine to work the quarries of stone. So we're back in Ukraine again with Andrew, and now with St. Clement. What was thought to be a severe punishment, St. Clement used as a great opportunity. Upon his arrival, St. Clement quickly began evangelizing to the prisoners, who he found almost dying of thirst. With all the suffering all around for lack of water, St. Clement knelt down and prayed. St. Clement instinctively opened his eyes and looks up, seeing upon a nearby summit where the ground was elevated, there was a strange lamb standing there looking at him, scraping at the soil with one of its forefeet. Strangely, only Clement was able to see this lamb, recognizing this as a sign coming from Jesus, the true Lamb of God, took his pickaxe and struck the place marked by the lamb, and beheld water gush forth from the site. Mass conversions followed. The whole region was being converted by the signs St. Clement worked that would inspire the faith for centuries, building 75 churches and countless conversions. The Emperor Trajan, not happy with the reports of renewed life taking place at the marble quarries, secretly had St. Clement taken aboard a boat in the Black Sea to be drowned with an old iron anchor attached to his neck. St. Clement's remains have been discovered by St. Cyril about 868 AD and brought to Rome, where he rests along with St. Ignatius of Antioch in the high altar of the Basilica of St. Clement. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1-2 states, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising it the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." In art, St. Clement is recognized having an anchor at his side or tied to his neck, wearing papal vestments. Sometimes he is depicted near a stream. Liber Pontificalis states that St. Clement died in Greece in the third year of Trajan's reign, or 100 BC. The feast of St. Clement is November the 23rd, and he is the patron of mariners and stonecutters. And so St. Clement was the third successor of St. Peter the Apostle, who was the first pope, crucified at Vatican Hill at 67 AD. upside down. He did not feel that he was worthy to die the same as Jesus. And so he was crucified upside down. And where his remains are there today, under St. Peter's Basilica today. And so the glorious Apostle St. Andrew and all, and St. these saints all loved Jesus.
You shall call his name Jesus.
And so,
for it is he,
O come,
who will save his people from the sins.
Jesus came. He saw and he conquered. And something very important to mention here in reference to Christmas Day. Christmas Day, it is understood that more souls are released from purgatory on Christmas Day. O come, Emmanuel. What an awesome thing. How Christmas Day is so important. That holy night, oh holy night.
when Christ was born.